At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and we are here to dig into everything from episode 6 of season 13 of RuPaul's Drag Race US, and of course, give our thoughts on this season of UK. Now, we have a fabulous panel, no guests, just family. First, I'd love to welcome in a man who is sporting some fab glasses, Aman Adwin. Aman, how are you?
I'm great. Yes. I'm trying to be a fashion queen for the podcast these days. So I'm not trying to have Michelle read me for wearing the same thing every day. So we'll give it a shot with the glasses.
I think as long as you don't open your mouth like Utica, I think then you'll probably be fine. She can actually appreciate the fashion, you know, because otherwise, really, you'll never say it.
Exactly.
And another, of course, of our fabulous panel is Beth Dixon. Beth, how are you?
I'm doing well. The opposite of Aman, I'm going for consistency, which is to always wear a hat because my roots are awful right now. So here we are. And I said what I said.
Oh my God. I saw an ad for this L'Oreal hairspray. It's literally just spray paint.
And they just spray it.
Yeah, you just. Yeah.
Was it the same commercial? Was it Eva Longoria?
Yes. And it was like, babe, send a pic. And I'm like, okay, so wait, someone is asking you for nudes and you're like, wait, hold on. I got to spray paint my roots real quick. Anyway.
Yeah, she is getting that check. She has been employed by L'Oreal for like a decade, it seems.
Hydrolonic acid.
Say it with me.
Okay. We are not sponsored by L'Oreal, so unfortunately.
Okay. Well, anyway, so now, no, and all, we are also not an Eva Longoria podcast, but make your coin, honey, make the coin.
Yes.
No, instead we have to talk about an episode of Drag Race. It was an episode that happened, and we're going to get into everything on this here day. So before we jump in, if you have not, go leave your star ratings and reviews on iTunes. Super easy link. Just check out robhaswebsite.com/dragrace. Okie dokie. Let's get into everything. So the way that I am thinking about this, let's like talk about the drama before everything. And then I think we can just get into the performance and the runways kind of all together, because I just think there's so much to break down when it comes to the performances, the looks, the judging, where the queens ended up getting placed. But before we get into all of that, I think we got a few little things to talk about. In the workroom, after the elimination, which is how we kick off this episode, as always, we really are getting to see the aftermath of all of the Untucked drama, which, remember, had happened just right before this. So, Beth, are there any sort of major takeaways from the rehashing, the rolling the tapes, all of that, Zhuzh?
I loved Tamisha Amon's line where she said, "That's not what I said. That's what you heard," to Candy, because I was like, yes, how many times? I mean, The communication rhetoric studies major in me was like, well, to be fair, communication is receiver oriented. So it doesn't matter what you said. It matters how it was perceived, blah, blah, blah. But I was like, girl, but yes, you call her out because she did kind of twist the words. But at the same time, to me, you did kind of say what she's saying. So it was just, it's another glorious moment of drama with miscommunication and, you know, just Untucked part two, starting off the episode.
Yeah, Aman, I love it when they went back and they rolled the tapes. Although I'm not going to lie, I don't know who is proven right there. It felt like both of them were saying the same thing. Like, Tamisha said, I don't care for some of y'all, but I give you props. Like, both of them were saying same versions of the same thing. So then they replayed the tapes. I felt like it didn't necessarily prove one queen right over the other.
Right.
Yeah, that's like a first, right? Like, we normally don't ever see them actually go back into the archives and pull out the receipts. I guess if we had to choose a winner of the semantics war here, I guess Tamisha would have won because she did say, I did not say I didn't like you. I said that there were girls that I did not care for, but all of you guys did a good job. But like Beth just said, Candy did essentially say the same thing by saying, no, what you said is that you don't like me, and that's the tea. And I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, I guess that is what she said in so many words. So, yeah, I mean, I was glad that the drama spilled over into the next episode because it got really, really heated between the two of them. Like, threatens of violence, which none of us really took seriously. I don't know why people were getting so hard on Candy. Like, people get riled up on television. They say things. They say they're going to slap people. Like, she's not going to hit anybody. Like, she was just pissed off in the moment. And like, all these fans that are apparently getting all up in Candy's mentions and sending stuff to her mom and all this stuff. I'm like, y'all, do you want a good episode of Untucked or not?
You know? Yeah.
And at the end of the day, like, Candy's is not doing anything that Josh Martinez isn't doing on the challenge. You know,
I mean, like, and the same person
out there, same person.
Oh,
it's not RuPaul's best friend's race. Okay, there's going to be arguments. There's going to be some misunderstandings. And in Tamisha, I mean, Tamisha, she definitely didn't back down either. It's not like she was doing anything to defuse the situation, you know. So
no, she definitely was stoking the flame there. She was absolutely making sure that she was these are both queens that want to have the last word. And as a fiery Leo, I can absolutely understand that. If I'm in an argument, I'm like, but I want to end it, and we're going to end on my word, and that's how it's going to be. So I can definitely understand. At the end of the day, this was just about bruised egos, and in a competition that's all about raising your own self-confidence and showing off what you've got to prove, like, that's the way to get underneath your competition skin at the end of the day.
Well, and I think that this is a good opportunity to remind all the listeners, and, you know, obviously you guys aren't doing that. We're the healthy part of the fandom, but there's no reason to shoot, you know, anybody.
Right.
Don't at the queens if you hate. Like, just don't be rude, okay? Come be shady with us. Like, you know, come on. I think it was Bob the Drag Queen had a tweet that was something about, like, some of you have never received 1,000 death threats and it shows or something like that. It was like, come on, guys. Like, let's all just be nice about the whole thing. I mean, clearly they were able to pretty much squash the beef by the end when they had an opportunity to talk to one another. Definitely. So it's like, look, if they can get over it in an episode, we can get over it too.
Yeah. And remember that we're seeing a very highly edited version of all of their conversations, and we don't know what's happening behind the scenes. We don't know. I mean, we had a lot of different mirror conversations, but they very well could have been having their own conversation and making up right there. Because clearly by the time the episode ends, they're on much better terms. So they didn't obviously put that into the episode throughout the entirety of the arc of the episode, that is.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, let's hop on into some of the challenges from this week. So the mini challenge was the working in pairs to make dresses from wallpaper, which I thought was a super odd choice. I mean, I get they had the sponsor, but you just had a design challenge and now you're going to have another design challenge. And oh no, did we just have a bunch of outfits that were all better than Lala Ree's outfit?
How come Lala Ree's outfit in this moment was, by the way, was made out of paper, which was her paper bags. So anyway, was better in a 15 minute span than her outfit that she had a day and a half to put together.
She really should be ashamed. Like, it's just not like, I would not like.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess anything to prove that she can wear a good garment. I guess she was like, I didn't have the worst runway in history. I got to redeem myself real quick. So let me just hop right into this mini challenge and show these people what I could do.
And let's be honest, it was two slices of pizza on her nips.
Yeah.
And then a skirt thing.
Yeah, she's like a little head collar thing, but point stands. Okay, if we're doing like a comparing amount of time, I know Simone was there to help her, but still, you know, this it was fine. There was nothing like particularly exciting for me from this mini challenge.
Just more of Utica being just a little off the wall with walking around and nobody really knowing where she's going.
It's like a smidge too weird for RuPaul.
Yeah.
It's like a,
Yeah.
Too weird. Like making the faces in the workroom, one thing, wandering around during the presentation.
Yeah, you have to stay in that lane. Like stay in the funny face lane.
Yeah.
Right.
Or you got to find a way to bring RuPaul in on the joke.
Mm.
Because if we learn anything, and we have in this episode, it's that the judges and RuPaul in particular are very biased about what they like and what they don't like. So we often see the queens that are a little like off the beaten path when it comes to their drag and have all this kind of genius that isn't presented in a way that RuPaul likes. He doesn't know what to do with it. So you oftentimes get weird criticisms or, you know, they just don't get the praise for what they need. They get snubbed out of wins like they should have done last week, stuff like that. So just when you do little things like wander around the workroom and you're not bringing RuPaul in on that joke, that's just, I would assume, adding on a subconscious level to RuPaul's thinking of how he's going to judge you in the runway.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, well, that's the thing. Every little interaction from the workroom to these little mini challenges definitely impacts how the judges and how RuPaul sees you. So, you know, you have to be conscious of what you're doing. But the one thing that I thought was interesting here, Amon, was that they had them pick partners for the mini challenge, knowing that they were going to have those same partners for the maxi challenge without knowing what the maxi challenge was. I thought that was an interesting wrinkle that they threw in here.
I love it. You know, really bait and switch these queens. Don't let them watch this show too much and then get an idea of what's coming. Like, I love it when they, you know, sort of like, you know, had to, I keep knocking this dumb bottle over. when they have to, you know, pretty much sign away their partnership in the mini challenge unbeknownst. I love it. I want more of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I was all about that too. I mean, you can kind of guess from the video, like, oh, something maybe with dancing, but still.
But it was still kind of interesting too that we saw UK drag race last week do this kind of interesting twist with partners. And then this week they do another interesting twist. So I am appreciating Drag Race trying to do little things to throw them off, just to your point, Liana, that you can't really expect what you're going to do when you have to partner up with somebody.
Yeah. Okay, well, were there any highlights from the mini challenge? The only thing really this did for me with all the Carol Baskin jokes was like place this in the timeline of quarantine. I was like, yeah. Oh, okay, so it's around Tiger King era of quarantine. So
this was, what, March, April, very beginning, apparently.
Yeah, or like a little later when it was still later. Kind of fun when we were doing TikToks about it. But especially with Elliot and Tamisha, the ones who did the animal print with Carol Baskin thing, ended up winning. So,
yeah.
Or maybe Rue's just behind on the memes.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's just go ahead. So the main challenge this week is the dancing documentary about the beat that defined a generation of liberation, disco. Now, Mon, I know you are excited for this.
Did it yes. I love disco. Oh my God. I'm just going to stop moving.
I have to say, at least it's not you falling out of the chair.
That's
it's
true.
It's just the bottle.
So. It's just something has to fall at all times over here. I love disco music. It's one of my favorite genres of music. I love pop music that has disco influences. We have a lot of that in pop music this year. So I've been getting my life. And when they said that they were going to do this, I was like, yes, finally, like give me some 70s glam. Give me the afros. Give me the hair. Give me the jeans. Give me the platform boots. Give me all of it. And I love that RuPaul is a big fan of the 70s and was trying to educate them as much as possible with, like, you know, how disco really came to be, especially in New York City. So I love this. A lot of people might have felt like they were doing a little bit too much of the history, but like, no, I mean, we come to Drag Race for the shit and all that too. But like, I love it when RuPaul gets really passionate about a specific era or topic and, you know, really forces the girls to sort of come out of their comfort zone, because so many of these queens, you know, they come in with their idea of what drag is. And sometimes that isn't always in line with what RuPaul is going to want. And I love when there's like a little bit of friction there and it's like a teachable moment. So I love this. I love everything about it.
I really liked the challenge and I rewatched it today. And I actually really liked it. What I didn't like about it was that they weren't lip syncing. And it was really off-putting for me at first. I was like, so they're just dancing and there's lyrics and they're not lip syncing, except for at the very end when they were lip syncing, we've got family. Oh my God. We are family. We've got family. What a weird.
That's the kids bop version.
Yeah.
But it was, I really liked it because of the historical aspect to it. We were just complaining a couple of weeks ago that we don't go far enough when trying to educate the queens or the audience about some of these cultural references. And disco was a liberation movement, and not just for the LGBTQ community, but for women, for Black people and other people of color. Like, this was a wonderful cultural moment that came right after the, you know, 1969 different revolutions that happened, and the gender and sexual revolutions, the race revolutions, all of those different kinds of things. So this was a way to liberate and experience that. So having the opportunity to have a little bit of history thrown in there with these little dancing was great. I will say I enjoyed that. I thought the choreography was weird at some points. Like, I really, like, what was the point of the hula hoops? What was the point of that?
And in the disco and sex part of it? Like, exactly. are there some moves that I'm not familiar with? And maybe I could learn a thing or two. Hey, I got a hula hoop.
Is there a disco? I've been looking up at what's going on here.
Okay, I think for me, so I hear your guys' points, and I get where you're coming from, and I appreciate it from that perspective, and that it felt very much like RuPaul wrote an essay 10 years ago and was like, I'm about to read you my essay I wrote on disco, because that was how a little bit of it came across. The things I didn't like, constantly shaming the queens for not understanding references. The 70s were 50 years ago. Some of these girls are 20 years old. That was annoying. Mm-hmm. Two, they weren't lip syncing. Something just felt off about that. Three, the consistent jump cuts during the editing of the performance made it extremely hard to follow what was going on. It made it extremely hard to evaluate what was going on. I did not agree with the judges, Miss Tina Burner being in the top, being one of my complaints here. I felt like if she did that well, I'm missing something. Like, if you're trying to tell me the story that she deserved to be in the top, that was not communicated to me properly. So it feels like a little bit of rigor mortis when I thought that Rosé, who did a fabulous job, I thought danced well, was not near the top. Now, is it because of her sponge Brillo pad looking outfit? That's entirely possible. But like, I didn't understand that part of the narrative. So it felt super disjointed. It felt super out of place. It felt awkward to watch. It felt like so much of the performance was not about the queens.
It was about the documentary.
Yeah, exactly. Which again, like, I understand the point of it, and I understand why they would want to do that, and I appreciate that. I really liked that idea. I just felt like it was executed in a way that just didn't quite work if your goal is to show off the queens.
No, right? I totally agree. I think it was really disjointed from a production standpoint. It was not the queen's fault that the challenge didn't go well. It was production's fault that the challenge didn't go well. In terms of, like, when I say I liked it, I liked the history portion, like I mentioned, and I liked, generally, I thought all the queens did pretty well from what I was able to see. But from your exact point, like, I really missed a lot. Like, I didn't see Elliot doing an amazing job. I really felt like Elliot shouldn't have been in the top. I thought that was a pretty safe performance to have. Gottmik didn't know what she was doing, so I don't know how Gottmik didn't go in the bottom.
Yeah, exactly. I think
Gottmik looked amazing, but Gottmik should not have been.
There were so many little things that it starts to pick away at the legitimacy of the challenge for me.
Yeah.
Tina Burner being in the top, Elliot being in the top, Rosé not being in the top, Gottmik not being in the bottom, Candy honestly being in the bottom. Like, I don't know. I just felt like there were so many little things that bugged me about the episode that made me want to be just like, okay, I don't like this.
There was no rubric either, right? So, like, Candy's in the bottom because her outfit's basic, and Tamisha's in the bottom because for 1 second, she kind of looked lost. But meanwhile, she looked the most disco out of anybody else. And so, like,
I mean, she was alive during it, right?
So, exactly. Like, she knows. Yeah. She knew what she was like. I mean, she looked fantastic. But there's no rubric for this one. Like, it wasn't an opportunity for people to really, like, I will say I do agree with Olivia winning. I mean, that was the only part of the judging that I was here for. But I agree. Like, I don't know why Rosé wasn't in the top. I see a lot of people saying Denali should have also been in the top because like she was with Rosé and they did a really good job. But I honestly felt like her outfit just didn't make sense for that as well. So if you're going to read Candy for that, you better read Denali for it.
We'll get into some of the specifics, but Aman, go ahead.
The fact that they were lip syncing didn't, or that they weren't lip syncing didn't bother me. I like the fact that it was more focused on movement, because I guess this course sort of like takes the place of a dance challenge. They just wanted to see how you were able to tell the story through your body. So I didn't mind that at all. But the one thing that does take away from that for me is, okay, so now all of the critiques that come in about what they're wearing, I'm like, the runway should be the main thing that you're worried about, how their appearance. Obviously, don't come on Drag Race looking crazy. Like, don't come on Drag Race looking like what's her face from last week. But at the same time, if this is supposed to be a movement intensive challenge where choreography is the medium, then why are we leaning so heavily on certain queens' looks and not other queens' looks? That to me just felt kind of strange.
Also, why are we reading people like Joey J for not wearing wigs, which she like did in one episode? She wore like, you know, didn't wear a wig three times in a row, but then showed versatility the other times. But yet we're not reading Tina Burner for wearing the same color scheme all the time. And we're not reading, but we're not giving props.
Why didn't they read Tina Burner for that wig that she wore? That wig that she wore on the runway.
I will say, I liked how the fringe of the disco dress during the challenge moved. I thought that was cool, but that's the only thing that looked good when she was dancing.
I have, we'll get into it. I have pictures of all of that stuff. I think that that's what I'm trying to say, I guess, is that there are little things about the challenge that just didn't make sense to me. And then to go to echo both of your points about what are you judging this on? Like, what is the criteria? I think it was Olivia who said it in Untucked that was like, this is a feeling challenge. It's like, first of all, I don't know what that means, but yes, I agree with you, because this wasn't a dancing challenge necessarily. It was more a feeling movement challenge, Aman. Like you were saying, it's more about that movement, not necessarily the dancing, because I think you could make an argument that like, well, Rosé was probably one of the best dancers, but.
I mean, they were definitely, it was definitely more of one of those experimental challenges that comes every once in a while in the season where it's like, are we going to see that again? I don't know if we'll see another blank mentory again. I would agree with Olivia that they definitely were trying to capture, like, if they wanted, like, if RuPaul wanted to feel like you were in the 70s in the club on that stage. And if you didn't give it to them, then you were out.
Exactly. Yeah. And this can't be your interpretation of disco. This is a very specific disco interpretation of disco. Okay, great. Yeah. So we'll talk about everybody individually. Do you guys want to talk about, we've got the mean girl click, we've got Olivia, her personal weight loss story. Are there any in particular things that you guys want to touch on?
The mean girl thing does not really bother me like the way that it bothers everybody else. Quite frankly, because are they mean? Like, is Gottmik a mean girl? We really haven't really been getting a lot of DRs from Tina ever since like the first couple of episodes. So I don't really catch any mean girl vibe from her. Of course, there's an argument for Candy with the whole fight that she got into with Tamisha Amon. But like, if you're really trying to serve me, you know, Karen Smith, Regina George, and Gretchen Wieners, I'm not getting it. So that's kind of why I'm like, okay, like everybody else is like, oh my god, I'm not here for it. Why is Gottmik hanging out with Candy? I'm like, I don't really have a problem with that. I just have a problem with the moniker. Like, you're not a mean girl.
Yeah.
Like, try something else. Like, I would much rather you try to follow Relaska Talks and mash together all your names and then just do that versus calling yourself the mean girls, because it's not working for me, sis. It's just not.
Tina Musmik.
We workshop that. I did see a comment on Reddit that was like, Mom, I want Relaska Talks. Mom, we have Relaska Talks at home. Relaska Talks at home. The mean girls, like that meme. I think for me, it feels like, especially from Tina, just this this air of self-importance of like, well, we have a name and we're a clique, so that makes us better than you. It feels that way.
It feels so put on though. Like, I feel like, like it's very tongue in cheek, which is why I'm like, why is everybody so mad at this? I'm like, they're just being like, they are fully aware that this is a Relaska Talks thing. They are like in on the joke. And I feel like so many people are like, oh my God, like, why are they doing this? I'm like, if y'all don't shut the hell up and just let them do what they need to do.
I think the reason why it's rubbing people the wrong way, and I kind of got rubbed the wrong way watching it last night too, is very much what Tamisha Mom was saying in the Untucked Part 2, as I call it, the beginning of this episode, where she's like, all of you who are in the A squad, quote unquote, are basically saying you're better than all of us. And then you have the three who are all in that, like, basically tromping around being like, we're better than all of you. And we're all good friends because we were winners the first week and blah, 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 blah. And we're from New York and LA and blah, 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 like all those kind of things.
Maybe so there's like stuff, there's probably that stuff trope that we're not seeing, right?
Like, oh,
there's
totally
probably more, like they might have been laying it on thick a little bit more or, but like, I don't know. Like, I just, that's definitely fair. I guess I just haven't seen enough of that yet for me to feel any kind of way about it. Like, if they're gonna be the mean shady ladies, then let us see you actually antagonizing. Or is it more just the B squad, whatever you want to call them, are actually just a little insecure? So anytime that the A squad does form something, they're like, ew, they think that they're so much better. Because every other time at Untucked, it seems like everybody's on an equal playing field. So it kind of just seems very like,
I think part of it too is just the hypocrisy specifically coming out of Candy, which is like, you can dish it, but you can't take it. So don't call yourself the mean squad if you can't take it, because you can dish it to other people. But if we kind of come back at you, you're not able to take it. And then you really depend on like Tina and Gottmik to stand up for you, which is like, that is very cliquish.
Which really, like, just returning to Gottmik for a second, I really don't feel like she's really.
I don't either. I think this literally is just, she's like, how I thought of this was Relaska Talks in All Stars 2, not in season 5, which was very like, Rotox, and then Alaska was just kind of there, and I feel like Alaska.
Gottmik is just like in the corner, like, oh yeah, like I'm go. Yeah,
I'm friends with you guys, but also do my own thing.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I love that. It's like a little bit like the younger sibling, the hanger on, the one who's just there, like, hey guys. But and I mean, Gottmik did pick them, so.
Gottmik definitely picked them. Clearly, there's some kind of friendship blossoming there, and that's fantastic. And the other part of this that I think is really cool, too, that they didn't show, but the queens were tweeting about it, and specifically Rosé was like, you know what? They haven't showed Gottmik and I even looking at each other, let alone exchange any words, but, like, this week you see her, like, I giving her, a ride on my back, a piggyback ride into the workroom, and, like, we're smiling and laughing and stuff. Like, we developed a huge friendship that's just not being shown on here too. So clearly Gottmik and Candy and Tina have other relationships, but this must play some kind of role in some drama that's going to happen. So that's what I'm thinking it's setting it up for.
Yep. That's my guess as well. This is a little bit foreshadowing. Okie dokie, let's go ahead and jump into each of the queens, because I think we have some details that we can talk about with each one of them. So we'll go through the disco performances and then also the runway little black dress. And so we can just sort of go over our thoughts, the judges' thoughts, and ultimately the queen's placements here. So if you would like to check out the visuals alongside us, you can go to Rob Has a Podcast, a YouTube page. We will be there. You can see our beautiful faces. You can see Amon's super stylish glasses, Beth's hat, my thing that's going on here, whatever this is.
Makeup. And like, really beautiful makeup on today.
I think, yeah. And of course, Tina Burner's wet paint outfit, which I have some qualms with, but we will get into that.
You know what I love? That she's really brave and that she's standing, you know, just like doing something different and wearing red and yellow and orange. I love her just really getting out of the comfort zone.
It's so innovative.
And so innovative. Her and her guy's outfit. It's amazing.
And demure, too. Like, she normally is pretty bold, but she went really demure this week.
I love it. Okay, so Beth, Tina Burner's specifics, her performance, her placement in the top, her outfit.
I think she did a passable job in the challenge, but when you compare it to some of the other queens, I just didn't see her in the top. I don't know if I would have put her in the bottom. Like, there were some people who said that she should have been in the bottom. I don't know about that. I would have definitely put Gottmik and Candy in the bottom over her. Mm-hmm. She was definitely the strongest out of that threesome. And part of that is just purely she chose a really great dress that provided that feeling that we keep talking about in disco. So like that helped enhance that kind of like, you know, she's moving around. So is the dress and that kind of thing. She looked fine in that challenge. The second she came around on the runway in the wet paint suit, I was like, oh, cool, a reveal. Because, like, you know, of course, we're not going to have any kind of, you know, there's no, the category is little black dress. We're not going to be surprised. You come out in a white jumpsuit that says wet paint. We know a reveal's coming. Come on.
That's not a little black dress?
I was very shocked. I was like, ooh, what a weird, oh no, oh, there's a reveal? Oh, I'm so shocked. But no. And then, you know, the dress is, it's there.
Okay. Come on, what about
so,
you?
No, I just feel like, I mean, like, yeah, we keep, I mean, I get, yeah, that disco look definitely provided the feeling of the 70s, which, what is the feeling of the 70s? Like, is it just drugs? Is that like what they were trying to come up with?
You learned nothing from the documentary, Amon. Did you not listen to RuPaul?
Yeah, it was called Liberation, so that's ecstasy.
Lots and lots of music and drugs. That's just what I'm getting from it. And yeah, so this was the LBT. Look. If she's trying to make it all Tina Burnery and doesn't want to say goodbye to the, you know, the orange and the yellow and the red. Now, look, I'm not a seamstress. I'm not a fashion designer. I'm not an engineer by any sense of the word. But what I felt like would have been compelling to me is if she came out with this, you know, jumpsuit with a wet paint sign on it, tore it off, and then that dress was yellow, orange, and red. But then you know how people have like those garments that, you know, you can change the color of it by rubbing against or whatever. How about you change it from being that and turning it into a little black dress? If you wanted to still have the Tina Burner trademark, that's fine. But like wearing the black dress and then adding your trademark colors to it that takes the air out of it for me. If you do it in reverse and start off with your trademark, then make it black, that to me feels like, oh, surprise, you know, it's a reveal within a reveal.
I think that's really cool.
Okay, here's how. So first of all, I love that idea. Here's how I had interpreted the outfit storyline. She's a painter. Okay, sometimes you get your hands dirty with a little bit of paint, then she feels all up on herself because the way that the handprints match are for herself, the thumbs are on top and on the back, the thumbs are on the outside. So she's clearly like touching all up on herself. So I think if she had done something where she was like in the jumper, and obviously Amon's idea is probably better, but anyway, my idea was if she's in the jumper and then there's like colored paint on her hands and you can see her like reach into the jumper. And then like, but it's behind it. Right. And she's like feeling herself and then she like rips it off and it's like, oh, she'd been touching herself. I don't know. That was like how I thought. That's what I thought she was trying to do. But then the dripping paint at the bottom makes no sense. And then like the way that she revealed it made no sense. So I don't know.
And also the storyline that she presented on the runway was, and then some boys got into the paint and they touched me. And you're like, no, that's not. Those are. That you touched yourself.
Exactly. But the thumbs go on the inside if someone is there, or did they grab you from behind, I guess? But then still the thumbprints on the back would look like, anyway, whatever.
It was Tina just like, is ready to sell merch. She just wants you guys to know that these are her colors. So that way when the season is over and she starts selling t-shirts, you know exactly where they're from. Like that's it's just brand recognition, okay?
And to be fair, I can't be mad at that. Yeah, the one thing I actually thought was kind of cool on this outfit was the stoning on the tights. I don't know if you guys realized it or not, but they were red, yellow, and orange. And I actually thought that was kind of cool. What I wish would have happened was more subtle. I wish it was a more traditional black dress with subtle bits of the red, orange, and yellow. That would have been kind of cool to me. Or even if she kept a wig or something. Not that wig. But
that wig wasn't really doing it for me.
No.
But I cannot wait to see what she brings next week. Because you just know it's
Watch her next week.
It's just like yellow. Aren't you ready to see me next week?
Yellow
girl, red. Yeah,
she comes out and it's just green, blue, and purple, and we're like, what do we do?
Oh my god, character development. That, okay, so all of this being said, I mean, I thought, look, of the three in her trio, I thought that she did the best. I liked her outfit, I loved the hair, I thought the way it moved, she was giving me like my tipsy white aunt at a wedding dancing, like, you know, not the best dancing, but like she's really going for it and she's got heart. So I loved all of that. But I just don't, I think she should have been safe. I don't think that this warranted her being at the top. Now that's her fault, right? It's the judges that put her there. She just did what she did. So, you know, no tea to her, no, you know, no hate to her. I just felt like the judges overestimated her performance this week. Okay, do-kay. Let's go ahead and go over to Miss Candy Muse, who did end up in the bottom this week. Amon, what did you think of Candy's performances and, of course, the outfit this week?
So I got the reference. I like that it's a reference within a reference. I mean, if there's one thing that Lady Gaga has done for me besides arm me with so many pop ballads and records to last me a lifetime, it's, you know, be a poster child for the Comme des Garçons. So I was very aware of what she was going for immediately as she came out of the as she came around the bend. And then I love the fact that it was also the revenge dress of the Diana Ross. I love that, like, it was supposed to be, it was painted on her and there's like black paint dripping and everything. I love that whole thing. I get it. I don't really have anything negative to say about her runway. I do. It is kind of distracting that the white is so pronounced, but I get it. I get what she's going for, and I wouldn't have knocked any points. The disco thing, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, she looks good. I definitely agree with the judge's critique that she looked like she was really not all the way there. I got that. I got that vibe. So. But other than that, I like the look. I like the fact that she is wearing an art piece of Princess Diana's dress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the runway look was really gorgeous. And I didn't really notice the issues with the wig line and the paint on her face until Untucked, like till they really zoomed in on it. Once I got the zoom in, it's like, ooh, that didn't dry the way you wanted it to. But I don't know. It wasn't that distracting for me at home, you know, looking at it from my television screen. So for me, that wasn't necessarily a negative. And then for the performance, I didn't think she was going to be the bottom. Then all of a sudden she was in the bottom and I was like, what? Like, what, did I miss something? On the rewatch though, because I think everybody did so well, I can see the logic of putting her in the bottom.
This, I mean, I forget which queen said it last week, but this is a cast of performers. So whenever we're getting performance challenges, it's going to get nitty gritty. So
exactly.
I'm a big person for watching people's eyes when they perform. And even in this still right here, this is a moment where she was putting her fist up for Black liberation. And she still kind of looks like, what do I do next? And I'm like, in that exact moment, if you're not like bold and proud and forward and that kind of thing, like, you're not conveying the feeling. And so that's what my biggest critique with her in her performance was. And the judges were kind of like, well, she was just Candy. I'm like, yeah, I mean, that's why you cast her, is because she's Candy. Like, she's got a great personality. It's loud and dominating and wonderful. And I do agree that there's a way to rein it in for the challenges and apply that to the challenges. And there are queens who do that really well. And there are queens that don't know what to do with that energy. And she's somebody who's still trying to figure that out, right? How do I apply the fierceness I bring to everything else to a very different form of performance and make it me, but make it more in line with that style, right? So I think that's something that she's going to continue to struggle with in this competition. But she always, like, from the first lip sync that we had, I keep saying, like, her eyes always dart around as if she's like What? I don't know what I'm doing next.
It felt like she was, yeah, it felt like she was looking around at the queens around her, yeah. like Tina, being like, okay, wait, what's our next move? Wait, what's yeah. our next move? What are
and
we doing?
And then she'd be like, oh, and face forward and Candy Muse sass. And okay, we go one over here. All right. Like, it was just like, that's what I see with her is like these moments of like that. And honestly, I saw a lot of that with Tamisha Amon as well. And that's why I really feel like those two were ultimately in the bottom, even though we really didn't hear that much being said about like that portion of it with Candy. I think that they kind of just laid into her outfit a little bit more. Like, well, your outfit was, you know, too basic.
Yeah. No, it's so funny because the critique from Michelle that was your outfit is too plain for Drag Race was part of the promo, like teaser for the next segment. I was watching with a friend of mine and she and I were like trying to guess whose little black dress that critique was going to apply for because there were so many that we were like, oh yeah, that could go for that. No, Candy, apparently the jumpsuit.
I thought it was going to be Elliot's little black dress.
Elliot's, Olivia's, I don't know. I was, yeah, I was prepared.
But no, and then when it came to her runway, I thought it was a really cool, unique runway runway look. I thought this honestly would have saved her from the bottom two. I didn't like the black oil paint mm-hmm. up here. When she first came around the corner, I was like, did she not just shave her chest? And then I realized that I was like, you don't have to shave your chest, but it just with this particular thing, I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting choice. And then I realized it was paint. But I wasn't the biggest fan there, but I thought this was a really cool concept and I thought that she executed it pretty well.
Okay, let's talk about the last part of that trio, Gottmik. So Gottmik, you know, ends up in the safe category. And Beth, I feel like you and I may be on the same page in terms of where Gottmik should have ended up.
Yeah, no, she should have been the bottom. I thought that she was, I don't even know if I'd call it dancing what she was doing. It was just kind of some flopping around at some points. And I just was like, oh, okay. What she was doing was the Utica wiggle to the top, wiggle to the top at some point. Like, you know what? Change of brands here. We're here for it. I will say that I loved her kind of like jumpsuit outfit that had like the slouchy baggy legs. Like I thought that was kind of cool. Like a cool modern day take on a disco kind of jumpsuit look. It's not what they would have worn in the 70s, but it's something that it's like reimagined. So I thought that was cool. I loved her hair. So in terms of looks, obviously I'm going to always like what Gottmik serves in some capacity. She challenges what my preconceived notions of fashion and specifically in drag and Drag Race are. So I appreciate that about her. When it comes to her runway look, I don't like this. Like I like the idea of it, but I don't know. Like, it's a Barbie dress.
It's a paper doll dress.
I feel like LBT stands for something, or LBD stands for something a little different in this look. Look. She's the fashion person, right? She's the art student, right? So she's going to give you something that's avant-garde, something that's going to shock you, wow you when she comes around the bend. And it definitely does that. But does it really meet the criteria of the runway? I don't know. I guess that's for RuPaul to decide. And RuPaul seemed to decide that, yes, it does fit the criteria. I mean, it's little, it's black, and it's a dress. Sure. But it does feel like, stop relying on that body, sis. That's what it gave me. And then on top of the performance that she gave, which I wasn't that perturbed by it. I thought that she did a fine job. But it was surprising that she didn't get more of like a bit of a tongue lashing, I guess. You know what I mean? It did feel like she kind of skated by, and maybe that's because, hey, she won the challenge last week. So they're, you know, they're like, we don't have to worry about Gottmik. We know that she's got what it takes. And also, but the fact that people are, this season is like really giving us a variety of top queens. Like I felt like it was going to be a runner to the end for Simone, but no, we're getting a lot of top contenders here. I'm kind of excited about that.
Mm-hmm. I think for Gottmik, the performance, I noticed it the first time I watched it and on the rewatch, she was being shielded by the edit. Like there were so few times where the few times you could see her like in well, she was out of sync with the other queens. It was pretty obvious. They did a lot of sort of close in, just single poses for her that made it look not so bad. So I really feel like the editors were heavy handed in their ability to tell us, no, 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 she did fine, because clearly you didn't see her mess up a bunch, even though if you pay attention to her in the back, it's not the best. For the look, I think I loved that she said in her voiceover a year ago she wouldn't have done something like this, and the ability of her to feel confident in her skin and in her body and show it so clearly on the runway, on television, in HD, that's impressive. That takes a little black dress to do so. I love the little nipples also. Her makeup, of course, looks fab. But I got a little bit of the Valentina with the black,
the Madonna look.
Yeah, exactly. The censored bars from the sex book. And so I was like, okay, yeah, I've like seen something like this before. I think, yeah, it's definitely, it's a risk. You're going to go for something. But I think personally, I just didn't respond to it as well, because it did feel a little, oh God, I want to say lazy, but like, you know,
I mean, if we like, look, if she had given, cause it looks, I mean, look, if I am like looking at it like this, like zooming up in, you can tell that that's a little black dress. If I'm back here, I'm like, is it just pubic hair? Like, what's going on here?
Is that a Merkin? Like,
what? LBD Merkin, baby. No,
like, if it was, she had like bedazzled the dress or something, or
also,
I don't know.
I would also argue that the proportions of that dress are more of a ball gown, which is not a little black dress. If you want a little black dress, bitch, that has got to be smaller, or you got to make the top portion a little bigger. So I will point out there that the little only refers to the actual size of that dress covering her, her areas.
Come on, silhouettes. Barbie's got a problem with this. This won't work for the little black dress function.
But I totally agree with you, Liana. I think that the past few seasons, I've been so annoyed with how flagrant RuPaul and the producers and the editors have been with pushing their favorites forward and keeping people that they clearly just didn't care to have further on the show, like, get eliminated. And Gottmik is somebody, in my opinion, who I think is a wonderful representation to have on the show. She's an amazing artist. I've thoroughly enjoyed her up until this week. With her performance, I mean. And I really felt like this week she stumbled, and I think that she was protected by production and the editors.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. Okay. Let's jump into Elliot with two T's, who did end up in the top this week for her performance. Aman, do you think that was warranted?
So sorry, my AirPod just died on me, so I missed the beginning part of your question.
Well, then we won't speak to you. Your AirPods clearly don't want you to hear. No, we're just talking about whether or not Elliot deserved to be in the top, given her performance and look this week.
I mean, it did sort of seem like it was like, oh, we're going to put her in the top because of the fact that she's next to Tamisha, who in their eyes did the worst job. So, I mean, I thought that she did fine. I thought that during the performance, like during the group performance, there were definitely moments where she stood out. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was fine with her being towards the top. I didn't think that there was anything really to call home about. I don't think that anybody in this challenge is really anybody to call home about, really. I think that as long as you shook your hair in the proper way and your dress was moving, then you were probably going to be okay.
I mean, she also had that hula hoop limitation, so. Yeah.
I don't think she did poorly at all. I think she did fine. Her being in the top for me was less of like about her and more about people I thought did better than her. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't like she did poorly. It's just, I thought that there were, like, I felt like Denali and Rosé were better. And I feel like with this particular challenge, when you're in duos, you can't help but compare to the person next to you. So she benefited from Tamisha, like, having a few moments where she would seem stiff. Mm-hmm. Whereas Rosé and Denali were, like, punished for both being really good together and having good chemistry together, not just as, like, a single act. Elliot and Tamisha were like two single people dancing, and they weren't a cohesive unit, which ended up, I think, helping Elliot here. and she gave some pretty fun faces, like that were like hinting at sex, I assume.
I like keep forgetting that that was the whole sex like part, disco and sex. Yeah, with the hula hoop. I don't.
Yeah,
what do you do with your really... just the
yeah, your arm in that hole. Really scream sex to me. Oh, is that? Oh, maybe that's what it was. The hole. I guess.
I don't know.
Why a hula hoop in an arm? That is so not it.
Your arm around when there.
When I think of the 70s and I think of sex, I think of an air conditioner, and let me tell you why. Because. I think it was like, there was this documentary about Richard Pryor and how there was like a whole section about how he was like very experimentative when it came to his sexual orientation, and his wife was like being interviewed for the documentary. And she was like, what people don't remember is like, it was the 70s. Like, people would fuck an air conditioner if they could. So now I'm just like picturing air conditioners every time I think about the sex in 70s. So yeah,
were you surprised they didn't sing, or RuPaul didn't mention that in the documentary portion about disco?
I was looking forward to it. I just wanted some air conditioner play. I just wanted it.
Maybe in the sequel.
Wow. A moment.
I think for me, yeah. I mean, I thought she did well. I felt like I didn't really get to see her in the performance. Like, I don't know. It felt weird. It felt really hot. I thought the editing of the whole thing was just, I didn't like it. Yeah, it was a little bit of a mess. So it was hard, but I think she popped. Clearly she did well. She's a trained dancer. I love the coat and her little black dress outfit. And yeah, I get that the dress is basic, but I would wear the shit out of that dress. I love it. I think it's gorgeous, which probably, as I say that out loud, means it is very much too basic for RuPaul's Drag Race, but still, very Sex in the City, very gorge.
My problem is that she's now worn a loose fitting coat over her shoulders like every single week. And she even constructed it last week in the bag challenge. So for me, if you take away the coat, it is a basic little black dress. Now, that isn't to say it's not beautiful. It's not something that people wouldn't wear. But I think that the point of like that RuPaul and the judges are looking for in this particular context and this particular form of drag is something that is like, when they say elevated, they mean like dragged up a little bit more, something that you wouldn't expect somebody to be wearing. I could see people wear that. And I live in upstate New York. Like that, it just seems like really basic to me.
Right.
I'm not mad at how she looks. I think she looks gorgeous. And I love that she's like, people have to do a double take. Am I a man or a woman? And I'm like, that's what I love about drag, is when people have the idea of gender played around with them a little bit. But I don't know. I felt like both of these were safe, her performance and her look.
Right. Well, as we mentioned, Tamisha Amon, it ends up in the bottom this week and does end up, I forgot to resize. Look at her little tiny black dress outfit. Oh my God, it's so tiny in comparison. I forgot to resize the photo. Look how tiny she is. Oh my God, a professionalism. I know, right? Okay, well.
Wow, what a read, Liana.
I'm myself for being an idiot. I could not get out of my head the fact that we learned that she has an ostomy bag, and she has been performing on freaking Drag Race with an ostomy bag. Part of her colon is removed and she excretes waste through her body into a bag, and she is doing freaking drag. She's putting her body in drag. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. And all of a sudden, this is what I'm talking about. Like, all of a sudden it clicks to me why sometimes it's like she's fiercely performing, but something's missing there. And when she had the confessional where she was basically like, I'm constantly worried, are people going to know I have an ostomy bag? Are people going to know that this is on my stomach? That is it peeking through? Or, you know, like all those things. Like, of course you would think about that. Of course you'd be preoccupied with that. And I really like, I'm not... There was a lot of people online who were like, do you judge somebody differently because of that? Do you, XYZ? And I said, I think that it's like anything else. I mean, if she had talked about it a little bit more openly, maybe the judges would have given it more consideration. I don't know.
I think, quite frankly, I think it's the judge's fault. I think it's RuPaul's fault. I do. Honestly, I feel like, now look, like, we know that RuPaul's Drag Race is trying to be ever inclusive. They're trying to, you know, broaden, you know, the context of what it means to be a drag performer in 2021. I get it. But sometimes people just aren't ready to be in the competition. Sometimes people just cannot physically do the things that are required of the competition. Of course, somebody like Tamisha Iman is not going to say no. Since she was supposed to be here last season, it didn't work out. You don't then say no when you get the call and you actually are healthy enough to move, at least. You don't say no to Drag Race. But with that being said, you're still going to have limitations. Like, if I have an ostomy bag, of course I'm not going to be doing all the flips and the dips and the diving and all the stuff that I want to do, especially in a movement intensive challenge. So I think that she just was not ready to be on season. Frustrating. Of course you can see, like, I think somebody tweeted this. They were like, I wish that if Tamisha Iman had been called to do Drag Race when she was in her 20s, she would wipe the floor all of these girls. And that's just what it boils down to for me. It's like, she just wasn't ready. The poor girl is like still recovering from her cancer. And maybe by All Star 7, she'll be in a different place. Maybe. I mean, she certainly seems to be gunning for it, so she's not deterred. But I just think that, yeah, I mean, this was a movement intensive challenge. She has an ostomy bag. It just wasn't her gig. And I blame RuPaul for that. Don't call her when she's not healthy. Of course she's going to say yes. It's 2021 and we're in the middle of a panoramic. No one's going to say no to a VH1 check, you know? Mm-hmm. So.
I totally agree, Iman. And I also think that I think a lot of the audience of this show oftentimes will kind of go at queens if they're not on to win. And she was clearly on because this was a dream of hers to do her art form on national mm-hmm. television, not necessarily for the crown. And you could tell in the way that she spoke when she got eliminated and when she was talking to people, like how she comforted Candy, like this was for her. Like, I could have died in the past year and I'm living out a dream of mine. And I have limitations and I can't be mad at myself because I have limitations and I can't blame other people.
That's what makes you so mad. Yeah. It's like, you're walking out of here so gracious. And of course, you would feel that way. Cause I mean, I don't know what it's like to come back from cancer. It's like, of course, someone like that's going to feel that way. Like, they feel like they have a whole new lease on life. And I love the energy, but it's also that energy that makes me so pissed. Cause it's like, oh my God, like, I know that there's more for you to give and you just can't give it. And now I'm like, oh, I mean, maybe we should have just waited until season. No, screw All Stars. Like, because I feel like All Stars isn't even like, I would rather her win a regular.
I definitely think that she,
I'm annoyed.
If I were her, I wouldn't have said no a second time, to your point. I wouldn't have said, call me for next season. Cause who knows? There might not be a next season, or something could change again. And if this is right for you now, you might as well, you know, take it by the horns and go for it, you know? But I definitely hear what you're saying. I wish we could have seen her just like dance and flip and just show these girls what it is. But I am really, honestly, I'm really touched and kind of, that she would share something that is pretty intimate about herself on national television, because it provides that bit of representation for people. It provides context that even the competitors don't know about. And it's something that that is a true form of bravery, in my opinion, to share and be that vulnerable with the world. And so I am so in love with Tamisha Iman, and I'm really, really sad that we had to see her go this week.
Yeah. I mean, we had talked about this where I've been sort of mentally preparing, for her to leave the show just based on, you know, like what her previous performances. I'm so happy I got to know her. I'm so happy that I was so wrong about her and that I had an opportunity to be exposed to her as a person like, yes, as a drag queen, but also just as a human being, and to see the way that she approached everything. And I think, you know, if I'm Tamisha and you get the call, I think she knew, right? You coming in 6 months of not being able to walk, you're coming in with an ostomy bag. Drag Race is not about winning. Drag Race is about making your mark. And she knew she was going to come in and make her mark. The way that she talked about All Stars was so clear. She was like, they're going to put me on All Stars. I know it, you know. And I'm inspired by her. I love her. And I'm, you know, I'm sad we don't get more of her. But at the same time, I kind of feel at peace because I'm like, okay, now I don't have to worry about her every week. And I don't have to like be concerned about like, okay, is this the week that she's going to go home? So ultimately, I think I'm happy. I'm at peace. She's, you know, she's an inspiration. Clearly, she's getting a lot of love in the community. But yeah, Amon, I get your point about the fact that, well, if you can't give it 100%, then it's like frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
So, but here we are. Here we are. Tamisha Amon, a legend.
We knew it was coming.
Exactly.
I'm happy that I was wrong about why she wouldn't
do well.
Do well, because I did have her ranked relatively low in the preseason, and I think I had her going home like third or fourth or something like that, or even second. I don't remember, but I remember saying I think it was because she wasn't going to be able to change and that she'd be stuck in her ways.
That's the thing. I don't think we were wrong about the assessment of her like performance
right
on the show. I think it was just we learned so much more about her that makes her so endearing and makes her fascinating to watch. So, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ugh, I love her.
Anyway. Okay. Go buy her merch. Okay.
Yes.
So, the winner this week, Olivia Lux. She is just a joy to watch. My God. This reminded me of why she popped so much, Beth, in the Meet the Queens video. Oh, yes. I feel this.
Yeah, no, she is just a bright light. Like, I don't know how else to describe her. She just exudes like a bright energy to me. And this is the kind of challenge that just allowed her to do that. And I loved being able to watch her dance and just like, I don't know, like when I watched her more so than anybody else. And I know that people say, oh, no, Rosé did the, oh, no, Denali did the, oh, no, oh, that. Olivia did it for me, and it was the facial expressions and the way she moved that hair and their dress and everything, and she just looked fantastic. And I really, really love her. I love her energy so much. She seems like just such a sweet person. And even when she was talking in the workroom about how she used to be, you know, almost 300 pounds or so, it was just those flashback photos of her. Like in a time when she was being bullied and was having a lot of identity crises and all that kind of stuff, just looking at just like that bright, beautiful smile she still had like way back then. It's just like, I'm so happy that she has a platform to be this version of herself for everybody to benefit from and watching her. I really, really love her.
Mm-hmm. She shines. I mean, she really does. Even if her dress this week for the little black dress runway was,
less than shine worthy.
No.
It was a little dull.
I just feel like if there was like a Disney version of Rihanna, it would be Olivia Lux.
Yes.
I just feel like she's got that whole Rihanna factor where we all know that Rihanna isn't like the most talented vocalist ever, but it's the je ne sais quoi. There's like a quality. You just want to get to know her. You want to hang out with her. She seems cool and just really kind and warm. Like she just has something that just easily translates to the screen for us and to RuPaul, because like, can't nobody say anything bad about this queen. Like, if I wanted to talk shit, I would look like an asshole. Like, I can't say anything bad about Olivia Lux. Like, I need for her to make me mad. I need for her to talk some shit. Like, that's what I need.
I love her also playing the producer role in the episode, like trying to start the thing with where, was it Utica that was made the comment about Tina Burner's wig? Like, go say it out loud. Go say it out loud.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think she should have been the top. I would have liked just a little bit of a read on the dress, but I was happy that the tiny bag was back. I don't know why, but that gives me life.
I loved her hair though, in that
yes,
one way.
Absolutely.
Oh, I loved it. And the way that she would just like kind of move it a little bit. I was like,
It's secure. It is secure.
And yeah. She's gorgeous. She's so gorgeous. All right. Now, Utica Queen, we need to talk about. Yes, the still was chosen on purpose. Her mouth is wide open. It was very hard to find a still where her mouth was not wide open here. Well, she ends up in the bottom, Beth. I mean, close your mouth. Is it bad? Like, I like the camp, but yes, I am getting to the point where I do feel like it's a little distracting.
No, in this challenge, it was not the right feeling. And there's, which is funny. I'm going to sound like a hypocrite in a second. Okay. So I fully acknowledge this. It's not the right freeing feeling that she was going for. You know, like disco is supposed to be about feeling free and such. And it's supposed to be like an ownership of self kind of freedom. And she gave me Luna Lovegood dancing, even like harder and quirkier at like the Flor de la Cora and Belle Weasley's wedding. Like it was like just that kind of like movement that she was doing. Like none of it read disco to me. It read, actually, it was more like hippie at Woodstock. Kind of dancing to me. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't disco. It was like you're 10 years too late here or a few years too late for the kind of dance that you were doing. So I agree. I think the facial expressions and everything were just a little too camp for this thing. And I hate saying that because I do love queens being campy. I loved the concept of the second look, but I agree with the judges. Like, how are they supposed to see the earrings and know that from the get-go? Once you see that and you understand that and you see the hook on the back of the hat, which they probably couldn't have seen when she came down the runway, and she probably didn't do like, she didn't do anything to be like, look at this
point
on my earrings, like, blah, 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 like, look at that. I mean, that makes a big difference. So, but I thought it was a cool concept. I probably wouldn't have done it for this particular runway, for a little black dress, but
Yeah,
Amon, what did you think?
So yeah, I was glad that someone made the point about the hair and how she pulled it back, because I couldn't quite put my finger on what was wrong with the disco look. And yeah, like if she had just let the hair fall, that would have been a lot better. Yeah, I mean, I guess I can agree with if this was supposed to be, you know, and really embodying the disco era, maybe, you know, doing a little bit too much can really distract you. And yeah, at first I was like, are you really upset that you didn't get that it was the earring? Like, take the earrings out of it. Like, is the look just like, do you like the look? And I agree with Beth. I don't know if I would count this as an LBD. Like, it's not very little. It goes past her knees. And so, of course, when they start asking her, like, so where did you get, like, why is your skin gold? Why do you look like the golden Wicked Witch of the West? Like, what's going on? And then when she explains it, it's like, okay, well, we had to do so much work here. And I feel like you don't want the judges to have to do any work. So I like the concept. I like that she went for that. But, like, I don't know, either choose bigger earrings with a smaller black dress.
I loved this. I think it's something about the combination of the nails, her lips, and the way that she moved on the runway that just captivated me. I just loved this sort of smooth motion that she had with it. I didn't, even without the earrings, I don't care. I still liked it. And I liked that it was complex. I liked that this felt like a drag elevated version of a little black dress. Like, yes, of course, I get that it could be a little bit shorter. There are some things that you could tweak here or there. But the purse being the big lipstick when she sort of stopped on the runway, and like the way she moved it just enthralled me for some reason, and I don't know why. So I get it. You know, I hear you guys, especially the layers of complexity, but I think I liked it anyway. And then knowing the earring thing on top of it really made this art for me. Like, to me, this is art. This is cool. It's subtle elements, but it's thought out, and I think it's smart. So
yeah,
in my opinion, this would have been a great Instagram post. I wouldn't have put it on the runway.
I see.
Because then you can really get, like, you have the description underneath. You have like all these different kinds of things going on. But I agree. I think this is beautiful in art. I just don't know if it fits the category if you take the story and the complexity out of it.
It's a black dress.
Yeah, but when I look at that, I'm not looking, oh, this is for the little black dress category. I'm thinking, is this for a metallic category because of the way she's painted her skin? Is this like a leather or a pleather kind of?
It's like giving me witch.
The gold tin man.
It's giving me coven.
With a little bit of extra Juvederm.
But no, what I think that Utica is unfortunately going to suffer with eventually, I think in this competition, is exactly what every queen who has gone above and beyond with this kind of out of the box idea of drag is that eventually the judges kind of get bored with not knowing how to interpret things. And like, it's not the queen's fault that the judges don't have the reference points or don't want to think. Like, it's not her fault. So I worry that that's her fate in this competition, is that she makes it relatively far and then they go, but we don't really, do you represent RuPaul's Drag Race kind of drag queen, or is this just like, are you too artsy for us? Like, that's what I worry about.
I mean, Sasha Velour was able to, you know, to merge those two, but even then she had one win in the season and it was a joint win, right? So like, in terms of the criteria of that part of the competition, like, it's not like she was above and beyond, you know, amazing. So
imagine if she had lifted the hat and a whole bunch of the earrings came out.
The little bunch of little earrings fell out.
I get some.
That would be so wild. Okay, let's keep moving along. We got Denali to talk about today. And she was, of course, partnered with Rosé, and they had the most complicated dance choreography here, Amon. I mean, I thought they executed it well, right?
Yeah, no, I think they did a good job. I mean, they definitely were assisted by having the flashiest moves. And just, you know, what she chose to wear accentuated that as well. I love the little black dress look. I love the Black Widow thing. I love the eyes on the forehead. I wish they were blended just a little better. That could have been the lighting. The lighting could have just sort of like not, you know, allow for that to happen for us, the illusion of it all. But I love the web on the back of the dress too. Like, it's just, I feel like Denali really brings something different to the runway each time, and so I'm excited to see what she does next. Like, I mean, we were all scared of, you know, maybe her, you know, being like the ice skating queen and never escaping from that, but no, she took those things off and have never put them back on again. So
yeah, I
applaud her for that.
I was really nervous about Denali that she might have been a one trick kind of performance, like she was just going to rely on lip syncing her way, and I'm really proud to say I was so wrong about her in that regard. I hated her outfit for the dance portion. I get that she's trying to be some kind of like disco ball or whatever, but like, I hated that dress. That wig makes no sense.
It didn't fit her well also.
Yeah, it was distracting, unfortunately, because she was dancing so well. But I do maintain that she and Rosé were by far, not only had the most complicated dance, but they also did it together where it seemed like an act versus just a solo thing. The two people happened to be doing it side by side. I loved the concept for her little black dress, and I thought it was really cool. I agree about the blending, but part of that, I think, is just when you're dealing with that kind of material, you need a lot of time for things to set, and she probably just didn't have as much time for, you know, the different adhesives and such to set the way she needed them to. But no, I thought that this was a really cool outfit. I wouldn't have been mad if she was in the top. I felt like Rosé looked better in the dance and she looked better on the runway. So if one or both of them had to be in the top, I would have been fine with that.
They should have been together as a pair. Like, you guys are together. Like, you'll win together, you'll lose together.
Yeah, because this week you'll be judged
as pairs. Oh my gosh, the reveal when she pulled off her hat on the runway and revealed the eyes. And then I didn't even notice the contacts the first time I saw her walk down the runway. So that was an extra reveal for me. I was blown away. I thought this was gorgeous. I love that she's bringing so many different types of fashion to the runway. And I'm extremely obsessed with her, just as like a general note. And then also in this episode as well, although I share the issues with the outfit and the wig from the performance.
I would also say her makeup looks much better this week. She doesn't have as dark of a straight line of a contour. It looks much more blended out. And I love that kind of look. So I hope that that continues as well. She could just be figuring out how it's supposed to be on with lighting and such. So,
right. And on television, you know, you never know. Okay. We'll talk about her partner, Rosé, getting her living her best life with the screenshot that I grabbed on on the performance. Then, of course, the Brillo pad look on the runway. category is ruffles around the edges, I guess.
Again. What are you doing?
This is from the subreddit. These are all the ruffle looks. If you're watching the video, you can see her consistent arm ruffle thing.
Hey, like so she tweeted out. She was like, I mean, she was making fun of herself for doing it again. I'm like, so what are you like? So then now that you know, what are you going to do?
Maybe it's her thing. I don't know. It's her Tina Burner, the ruffles.
Oh, my God. Burn it. That's what you need to do.
Tina Burn it.
I thought her performance was, I mean, I've sung her praises. I thought the performance was really fun. I thought she was fun to watch. She was clearly having a great time. And I can't knock any of that. I think it just goes back to who she's being compared against and then maybe the runway look.
Looks like a freaking like gift basket. Like
I think maybe I would have hated it less if the black had gone in a little bit more to really create this like defined contour and then maybe remove the ruffles around her neck because it swallows her up and she just looks like a sponge. Like not Monet's sponge dress, no, but like a Brillo pad sponge.
I got dying because when I watched this for a second time a little while ago, the way she's delivering like the confessional while she's talking about, you know, like when they do the voiceover when she's on the runway, you can tell she doesn't believe a word that she's saying.
I know.
She's like, I am walking down the runway in a dress that has ruffles on it. And it's not a little black dress, but there is a little black dress. Like, it's just like the way she described it. I was like, girl knows that she's not serving anything. And she's like, and I feel cute. And the way she says it is like, you look good.
I mean, you can't tell me that Jan didn't have something that she could have let her borrow. Like, come on now.
You can't tell me that literally anybody in the world who wears dresses couldn't have something for you to wear. Like, literally, this is one thing that pretty much everybody who wears dresses, regardless of gender, has a LBD. Come on. You have something.
She literally looks like a sponge. Like, I want to just take her and rub her across my sink.
If I could be honest.
Like a Swiffer pad.
At this point, just take the ruffles completely off. If she'd come down just that basic with that basic of a dress, considering Olivia Lux one with her basic like Deb looking dress that she got in the mall in 2007, like this is something that she could have worn and potentially been in the top. I don't know.
Oh, Rosé, I'm excited. Much like for Tina Burner, who will wear her color scheme, will Rosé have ruffles around the outside?
You know, remember when we were worried she was just going to wear pink too much? Now it's just turned into this really weird, why are you going to look like a loofah every week? I don't get it.
This week's challenge, don't look like a loofah because it do be a challenge. All right, we got two more queens to talk about. That is Lala Ri and Simone. So let's kick off with Lala Ri, who I thought also did a really fabulous job in the performance, who may have been knocked out possibly by the outfit this week. Amon, what did you think about Lala?
She was fine. We know she can move, so that was never really going to be a thing for her. The little black dress is definitely little. Like, I feel like she was like one of the main ones that actually understood the assignment. That thing was riding up like, I don't know what rides up. It was riding up.
Like a roller coaster. We're going to the top.
Like all the way up there. It did feel a little basic, but I can't really get on her for that because there were so many of the other dresses that felt a little basic. So like, as far as the dresses go, like she definitely was not the worst of the bunch. So I feel like she skated by this week, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, These are two really shady
screenshots.
Oh,
I tried. I had a worse one. I had a worse one for the dance. It was like this same face, and I was like, "Why are you making this evil eyes rolling back in your head like, face?"
It looks like the picture on the right of her runway is her about to sneeze, and then this is her mid sneeze. Is the one that I'm in the middle of the challenge? That's why I think it's so funny. No, I thought she did a really great job. She was another queen that I would not have been mad at if she'd been in the top for her performance, because she also, like Olivia, really gave the feeling. She had the attitude. She had a wonderful like smile on her face. You could tell she was really into it, to the point where I felt like she overshadowed Simone. And that's really saying something, considering we all talk about how much Simone has just the star power. And if you can take any attention off of Simone, I think that's a feat. And I thought she did a really great job with that.
That's true.
I thought Lala Ri was straight vibing with the music. She was just into it. I felt like she was having a good time, so I was going to have a great time. The little black dress it's a little black dress, but it is definitely more about the necklace as the statement piece here. So it a little bit overshadows, but also with a dress that simple, you got to dress it up somehow, right? So I get the decision that was made. And yeah, I mean, I think she was definitely safe. And then I also wouldn't have been mad if she had ended up in the top.
Yeah.
Okay, finally, let's talk about Simone, who was, also just living her best life, ends up being safe, just shimmying through this performance. And then, of course, gives an iconic hair on the runway, Beth.
I mean, so good. What was it? It was a reference to RuPaul?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't get the reference myself. So, but like anytime you can reference the host of the show. That's always a good thing. No, I thought Simone did a great job. Again, I don't think I thought that she was outdone by her partner in the dancing challenge. I thought that she did a safe, passable job in the challenge. I love her runway look. I love her skin so much, the way it just glistens and just like,
I don't know what she is putting on her body, but it's working.
And it works, baby. No, she looks so good. And I loved this dress. I loved this hair. And I like that in the back when she turned around, it was almost like a little G-string thong also came up too. I was like, oh, girl's a little sexy there. I like that. That's cute. No, she to me was just a lot of fun to watch this week. And again, I thought that appropriate. She was safe. She did a great job. But for me, she didn't knock it out of the park.
Right. I don't know where she got the deal on the body oil, but I know it's not appropriate for me in real life, but I would love to just look that fabulous and on the day to day, just slipping and sliding through life. But I'll appreciate her as just, I mean, still just outstanding. I'm happy that she's been sort of solidly safe and not really a stand. I mean, okay, look, of course I want her success, but it means for us that it's not maybe as clear of a runaway as we thought it may have been after she won the only two challenges she was eligible to compete in, you know what I mean? Right. She won two of the first three challenges. So I still think she's going to do extremely well in the competition, especially the fact that she's able to skate by each week after week with strong skills. So
yeah,
feeling good about Simone.
Yeah. I love this dress. I love that she took a picture of herself in this dress in like the middle of a hair shop. I'm just like, yes, I love it. Everything about it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
Love it. All right. All right. Yes, that is all of the queens one by one that we have to talk about. So obviously, as we discussed, Olivia ends up as our winner this week, and we have Tamisha and Candy in the bottom, which it was funny to come to the realization. I was like, oh, they're going to put those two together in the bottom because of the drama of the lip sync. And then when we watched Untucked, to watch the girls figure it out in Untucked as well, of like, oh my God, they could be in the bottom. Oh my gosh, the drama here. Aman, what did you think about the ultimate decision to have these two lip sync?
I mean, I feel like we've just discussed, there were definitely other options for bottom queens besides Candy. And maybe even besides Miss Tamisha Iman. So it just felt like, yeah, this was definitely they wanted to see what would happen. But I think there was both arguments for them to be in the bottom as well. So I won't cast aside production too much for this one. What really got me was just the passion from Candy. And not to say that Tamisha Iman was not passionate about it, but you could just tell that she fought for her life to stay there and she really wants to be there. And I think that's probably why Candy does not bother me as much as she seems to be bothering so many other fans. Like, if I can see that you are giving your all every week and that you give a shit, like, it's that, that gets so many points for me. And I just felt like that lip sync, she just took it there. Like, she really was not trying to go home. And I love when queens do that during the lip sync. So I think ultimately the right decision was made. I'm sad to see Tamisha go, but like I said before, I blame RuPaul. Like, mm-hmm. bring her back when she needs to be brought back.
Yeah.
I would co-sign that. I think the fact that Candy is so passionate, like, you can't help but feel that passion. Mm-hmm. And there's something about that that definitely pops. She wants to be here. Flaws and mm-hmm. all, she wants to be here. And like we talked about, Beth, I was waiting for, you know, us to have to say goodbye to Tamisha. So I'm happy that the producers were able to get a little bit of drama out of it if they're going to milk it and put their thumb on the scale.
I mean, let's be honest. They did. Yes, of course. Yeah. I don't think that Candy was a clear winner for me. Personally, I felt like Candy did not fit the mood of the song. It was just like this manic, and there was a couple times where like this, the climax of the song. Yeah. She finally like matched the climax of the song, but she did that. Like, it was one note the entire way through. And Tamisha threw a little bit of sex in there, a little bit of attitude. But I will say Tamisha once again had that kind of glossed over look in her eye, which I think can be misread now that we understand a little bit more of what's happening with her as a lack of passion. Or a little more deer in the headlights, when I think that she's probably she's probably trying to be in tune with her body more than we're, you know, that you would normally see on somebody's face. But I just felt like she did a better job with the song choice.
I also think that she's just being a little bit more like Lala Ri said during her confessional, like, she's giving you old school drag. And I feel back then, I mean, yeah, there was always like the flips and the dips and the tricks and everything. That's always been a part of the culture. But the lip syncing in particular, like, it wasn't always about, you know, spectacle. It was about really embodying the song. And I feel like she was going more for that, because a friend of mine mm-hmm. texted me like, look, like, Tamisha knew every single word of that lip sync. Like, Candy was not enunciating enough for me. And I'm like, well, to be fair, Candy enunciation isn't really there when she's speaking either. So
somebody said Candy's the first queen that I've ever needed subtitles to when she's lip syncing. And I thought that was so funny. But I agree. Like, I don't know. I understand the passion, because you definitely see it from Candy. And I would argue that you see it even more from her than Tamisha, regardless of all the stuff that have talked about tonight and how she's fought to be here and such. There's a little bit of an acceptance of needing, if it's my time to go home, it's my time to go home. And mm-hmm. even just that little bit of like yielding to that, can sometimes affect how you're perceived, I think. And I think that was what happened with Tamisha here. I was upset that we had to see her go. If I were judging, if it was Beth, you know, Augusta wins Drag Race, I think I would have given the win to Tamisha in terms of the song. But I also can't be mad at Candy staying, because we get some more entertainment coming our way. So
now get right. blown away. That can be your sign off. Yes, my biggest, like, don't get me wrong, I love this song. So, but like, we're going to do a Blue Cantrell song on a disco episode. We're not going to do
Ross.
I was a little disjointed. What was that?
Convinced we were going to get like,
we've got the money. So a great song choice in general, but you know, for a disco episode.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's everything. Unfortunately, we have to say goodbye to Tamisha. Again, loved her, but I do feel a little bit like the competition opens up in that there will be new relationships that get shown. We get to see progressions in the storylines, and new queens are going to be highlighted, because Tamisha was just such a strong presence. I mean, you can't help but show her so much in the episode.
And I will just say, class act all the way around when she was eliminated. Just loved every minute of it. Yeah. And I also want to point out the one thing I really appreciated with in her runway, specifically with the little black dress, which we didn't talk about, is that she said, when you look at me, I want you to see a powerful black woman. I want you to see black excellence. And I loved that moment because once again, we need to be uplifting and showing black excellence on every platform that we can. And I love that that is just, nope, this is what you see when you look at me. And that's what I want you to feel. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And with neoprene too. Oh, what a hard fabric to work with. I don't have anything major from Untucked because this was, especially compared to last week, relatively calm. We get Gottmik's family giving a video, which of course very heartwarming, but it's really hard. Like, ignore the naked twink in the room. Like, just like this heartwarming video.
Yeah. They played her. The production played her for giving her that video.
Now we know why she was safe this week. Now we know why she was safe.
We need to air the video. We have the content.
We have the, this is perfect. She's naked and her parents who have like rarely used her chosen name.
Oh, that are now going to have to watch themselves on TV on the same episode where their son is naked.
Exactly. Lovely gal.
All right. Well, and then unfortunately next week, Bossy Rossi is coming back. So
I hate it. You know,
I'm hoping it will be better. I have high hopes based on the preview, you know, that not
and
exactly.
T.S. Madison as guest judge. Yes.
I love her.
I am excited about.
Loving.
And it's nice to see that it's not just going to be, I mean, don't get me wrong. Nicole Byer, Lonnie Love to see him, but you know, they've been on twice now, so I'm happy that we are opening up.
I wonder if they're going to do that again, and like next week for episode 8 it's going to be a different one, and then they're going to go back to TS again, and then go back to the other one.
So I have heard rumors that it's basically the same 3 or 4 judges all throughout the entirety. So we might see Lonnie and Nicole back again, but they might just give them a little bit more of like a respite right now.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm.
I could
do
really
what you got to do for COVID. Like, you know, you want to keep your circle as small as possible. I get it.
Right.
It's fine.
Right. Okay. So that does it for the U.S. Drag Race this week. We have mainly just a lip sync to talk about when it comes to Drag Race UK.
I wouldn't even say it's a lip sync we have to talk
about. Well, okay. It's more of an exit that we have to talk about.
Prompt
walking out the back from Ginny Lemon. So, okay, let me set the stage. So if you haven't watched yet, please skip ahead. But if you're interested in hearing a little bit about Drag Race UK, we had a main challenge this week that was the talk show Morning Glory. So it was live television presenting similar to, oh shoot, what was the talk show that we've had in the US before? There were two of them and they were the groups and they, well, anyway, whatever. It's a live talk show.
Yeah.
And the lip sync, Beth. What happened?
So essentially what we see in this episode is that Ginny Lemon and Sister are close. They're friends. And they end up getting put in the bottom two together. And Ginny says, I don't want to lip sync against her and I'm ready to go home. And so she just kisses her way, says goodbye, walks to the back of the stage, does a last little wave like queens do when they get eliminated. And then she just walked off. And then Sister got her solo performance. But my favorite, anytime we see something kind of scandalous like this with a lip sync, is how loud Michelle must be yelling because of the music in the studio. So I remember this with Valentina with the mask on, where she was like, is she not going to take that off? And then this time she was like, what's happening? And so I just love dramatic, loud Michelle whenever we have a moment like this. But yeah, a choice for Ginny just to go, I'm done. And as I think it was Taste or somebody said, she Bendelid herself out of the competition.
Yeah, Amon, how did you respond to this?
Yeah, I mean, I finally caught up. You know, I can't really say that I was the biggest fan of Ginny Lemon. I mean, I certainly appreciated certain aspects of what she brought to the competition, but I was never really rooting hardcore for her. And so when she decided to do, I thought she was about to do something, you know, some kind of gimmick for the lip sync. And then when her ashes came back out, I was like, come on. Come on. Like, if you don't, okay. Like, and then she said at the end of it, like, I don't think this was disrespectful. I did this for me. I didn't want to have to compete against my sister. Okay. Well, then stay out on stage and lip sync to the song, but go home. Like, if you don't, like, you just completely walking off. I just feel like it's just so, it just turned me off. So I really wasn't that sad to see her go, especially if she's going to go out like that. Like, if she was tired of it all and she just wanted to go, then fine, you go. But like, I feel like there are better ways to leave the competition than to just walk off.
Well, for me, it wasn't, it was more just the gag of the whole thing of also being like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Where is she going? Is she going to come back? Like, and then sister just being out there the whole time
as a mummy
performing. Like, thank god you could see her mouth though, because could you imagine? And it's not like sister gave a particularly enthralling lip sync anyway, so it was just the whole situation that was absolutely wild. I felt also like, I understand, so Veronica Green and sister were paired as the goths, and they were both terrible. And I thought that both of them should have been in the bottom. And so I felt a little bit like this was production's way of being like, okay, bye, Jenny.
I think we're missing something here. And I think Jenny wanted to go home. And got that sense last week that she was really, I think that a lot of her talk, and I don't know what Jenny's pronouns are out of drag. I haven't looked into that, but I think a lot of her, self-identity issues were not being, it's, you can always tell when production's like, you know, Liana, go ask Amon about this childhood trauma he had. And like, and they'll be like, Amon, tell me while you're doing lipstick or something. I feel like Jenny's really came out of this identity crisis with what RuPaul said for her to be sexy and to do these different things. And you could see that there was a lot of discomfort that she didn't expect, that wasn't necessarily in terms of what she, oh, I'm going to broaden my drag horizons. It really became like a, I don't know who I am personally. And that is, I think, really messed her up. And I think, go ahead.
I completely echo that. And like, I'm so happy that you pointed it out, because we got that last episode. It was almost the setup for this of, I have had an identity crisis and I am having an identity crisis. Yeah. And I just wish the best for her. And I feel like this competition is not the place for her to be. So I'm happy from that perspective of, look, take care of your mental health. Do what you got to do. There's no shame in that.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, yeah, of course, you want competitors on the television show who are there to win. And I think Jenny Peter never picked a pack of pickled peppers, bitch. Like, yeah. Jenny Lemon, I think, was genuinely there to win. But Beth, exactly to your point, is that sort of going through this, and especially Rue challenging who Jenny was as a drag performer, mm-hmm. I think that just rocks you to your core.
And wait, once again, RuPaul not actually giving any kind of legitimacy to an outside the box kind of drag queen. Where are we seeing this again? Like, this is what I'm talking about. And like, this is why you can't watch Drag Race and go, that's drag, because it's a very narrow scope of what drag is and what good drag is. It's a very narrow scope of that. If you want to, if you are somebody who is watching Drag Race for a relatively first time, whether it's UK, US, both of them, whatever, and you want to expand your horizons a little bit, there's another show called Dragula. I really encourage you to watch. It's more of the horror, filth, kink kind of version of drag that's kind of underground a little bit. But oh my God, it's so good. The artistry, the production value is much lower than Drag Race, but it's so, so, so good. It's much more inclusive.
It is good.
It's, as well. And there's a whole bunch of really good drag, cheaper production value, like drag competition shows on YouTube. Camp Wanakiki is another really good one I encourage people to check out. But this is what I'm talking about. And I think that just when you are that specific kind of queen, who is very different from what RuPaul is going to be judging or likes, on top of the fact that you have other identity issues, I could see this coming, and I'm not as hurt about her leaving the stage. I was more upset the fact that Sister thought it was just Veronica that messed her up. I was like, girl, you have been not delivering this entire competition.
<I know. laughs>
And who was it? Somebody, I think it was Ellie Diamond, was like, she can't just be blaming Veronica for how much she's like sucked this entire time.
Yeah. I'm a little bored with Sister, so
yeah,
I'd be happy if that show got canceled. But yeah, so a few other things. So Lawrence Chaney ends up winning this week, which I loved the fact that Ellie Diamond also called Rue out about, like, well, why don't you say my name with the accent? And it was face crack of the century.
Somebody said, who's the next gemstone queen to call out RuPaul in the workroom? First you had Pearl, now you have Ellie Diamond. Like, if your name is Sapphire or Ruby or something, watch out. Apparently you're going
to... I'm excited for Aquamarine, yeah. Emerald.
I can't wait for Topaz to come in.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. I love that. But yeah, that was amazing. I thought Ahura actually deserved to win this week. I thought her face and her physical comedy and the performance and had that just like embodied Essex. Oh, and the boobs out and the lips and just I mean, she was hilarious.
Have you guys watched Towie? The Only Way Is Essex?
Mm-hmm.
I've only seen like clips of it because of the Gemma Collins of it all.
Oh my God, Gemma Collins. Yeah.
It's very much that. Very much that. And so, I had some gripes with the judging again, of course, as per usual. But yeah, it just was so wild. I mean, I don't even know how to describe Drag Race UK season two apart
so
from just the whole thing
that,
wild.
Like, two of the queens that had like physical afflictions went home this week.
Yes. Well, so actually, that's a great point, Amon, because so Ginny talks about fibromyalgia and being diagnosed, and that's why she chose the particular shoes. And they aired RuPaul's response, which was, this is a serious disease that needs to be taken seriously. And yet, when we get the critique of Tamisha, it's like,
but here's the thing. In defense, you rarely hear me say this, but in defense of RuPaul, Tamisha didn't talk publicly on stage about her ostomy bag. She was very particular to keep that as a confessional thing. Versus Ginny did say, I'm wearing a lower heel because I have fibromyalgia and these kind of things. Right. Now, I will also then say, and then we'll turn it back around, this is how RuPaul said that. No, your health is important. Okay, next up, we have, literally in one breath was like, no, this is a serious disease and you need to keep your health first. Okay, next up, we have Lawrence Chaney. I need to talk to my favorite drag queen of the season. Forget you and your fibromyalgia. All right,
I saw a TikTok that was it was from season, oh my God, was it season 5 of All Stars, the I'm in love song where they each pick. Yeah, I'm in love with Lawrence Chaney.
That is absolutely season 2 of UK's Drag Race.
Yeah,
I have to say, I think RuPaul's just losing it.
I think so too. The way that RuPaul was laughing too at some of the comments in the workroom and to Michelle.
At everything. It's it's getting to the point now where I'm like, and it doesn't sound fake either. It doesn't sound like fake laughter. I think that he is just
losing it a bit. It's all the gas from the fracking.
Or he's high
could be that.
He dropped a lot of acid. It very well could be he's just getting flashbacks.
I've heard that as you get older, you start giving less of a shit and, you just start, maybe he's just older and he's just like, that's funny. I'm going to laugh. Like, I don't care. Mm-hmm. Maybe the bar for humor is just like lower because just like, who cares?
You know what? That's probably it. He's probably like, you know what? This isn't my future I'm worried about. You know what? I'm going to put this person and this person in the bottom because I don't give a shit. Go for it. Okay. Lawrence Chaney, I like the way I say your name. So therefore, you're going
to. I'd like to say your name again. So I'm going to announce you as the winner.
Saying Lawrence Chaney is a lot of fun, and to say Ellie Diamond is not as much fun.
No, it's really
but
not.
You could do it.
All right. So this was a gag of a gag of a gag episode because, and I I knew it somewhere in my brain that they had started filming before coronavirus and before quarantine, but it didn't hit me until later. And of course, in this episode, when we get the preview for next week, they have to halt production because of the coronavirus. Now, obviously, they're airing the season, so they're able to get back together later on to film the rest of the season. But I'm fascinated to see what it's going to look like. I'm fascinated to see what the queens, what can they do in between? You know, if they're like, Tia's like, I got to step up my fashion. Crap. I'm going to quickly get a bunch of like high quality fashion looks, right? Like,
right.
Yeah. We've never had this sort of like open book portion of the RuPaul's Drag Race experience.
Yeah.
So we'll
I can't wait to see what it's like. And I'm not going to lie, I had this moment of like, wait, when did they film this then? Because there was a time when Britain opened up way before we did. And then they had to shut down again. And so like, I'm sitting back and being like, oh, did this happen? Like, oh no, it's getting more serious again. Or
I think they filmed in like February, March.
Okay. That makes more sense to me. So I was like, cause then I was trying to figure out like, oh, when they say the coronavirus situation, it made it sound like it already has been going on.
Right. Like, so it's getting worse or something like
that. Yeah. So like, it's getting worse again is what I was like interpreting. But then I was like, oh, I wonder if it was, I don't know. This is, yeah, it'll be very interesting to see if they're allowed to bring anything differently
back. Okay. So what the Wikipedia says, the all knowing Wikipedia, production was suspended mid 2020.
That's helpful.
So
June?
I don't know. Production was resumed. So filming concluded in late 2020. Like, yeah, no duh, of course.
Anyway. I love the idea that they had to specify that it was in 2020 at the very least. I mean, that did help me.
Okay. This article says was interrupted by the pandemic in March of 2020.
Okay. Dear Wikipedia, that is not mid 2020. That is first quarter going into second quarter.
Oh yeah, that's first quarter for sure. So anyway, so we'll be back with that and we'll see what everything looks like. That does it for us here today, talking about Disco and Ginny Lemon just effing off out of the competition of UK.
Right on off.
Right on off that stage. Amon, thank you so much. Where can people find you on social media? Where can they follow you?
You can find me at Amon Adwin on Twitter. You can also find me at Amon Adwin on Twitch.
Girl. And Beth, what about you?
You can find me at AugustaWind11 on Twitch, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram.
And you can find me on Twitter at LianaRHAP and on Twitch at LianaIsm. If you have not done so, consider becoming a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. That allows us to do everything that we do here on this day. Check out patreon.com/RHAP or robhasawebsite.com/patreon. And of course, as I mentioned at the top of the show, leave your star ratings and reviews for us on iTunes. Easy link for that is robhasawebsite.com/draggrace. Thank you, Scott St. Pierre, behind the scenes, and we will talk to y'all soon. Bye.